Hello, how are you? 2:11. What a time to be alive. Late in the fall, Christmas season is here. All the good stuff to look forward to. Holiday parties are happening. With the late Thanksgiving this year, Shime, you know, you just get through that one holiday. Next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, I got to do my shopping. Ugly sweater parties are happening all over the place. The people on your show just had the holiday 5K at the Snowport today. Have you been down there to that? What was the report? Did you get any reports on well attended, good times, good vibes?
So I believe it was the most well attended Jingle All the Way 5K in the history of the 5K. I believe there was a ridiculous amount of people down there today, which is awesome. That's super cool. It was a cold one out there, so shout out to anybody who made it down there for the 5K. Good job.
I don't mind a 5K in the brisk early winter's air. It's when it's crisp like that, it's kind of fun. I did the 5K back when Greg was a part of the Battle Hill Brewery, I believe, in Maynard.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hilly course. It was a good time, actually.
Yeah, so now I've been with the...
Curtis and I were lapping Greg. Greg, we were actually jogging backwards in front of Greg, who looked like
that
he was
about, right.
About ready to have a coronary.
Well, so I have been with the Greg Hill program now for 3 Christmases. This is the
Has
third one.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. So... The first one I actually had to host with Curtis at the 5K, so I didn't get to run it that year. We did that one up at the Cisco Brewery up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. That was a lot of fun. And then last year we did it in the Seaport as well, and I actually got to run that one, which was a blast. Great time. And the after parties are a ton of fun.
Is that when was the Slim Scrim in effect back then? Or
no, it hadn't started yet. Slim Scrim started just after that. And then I was ready to go for this year, but, you know, Boss Man put out the bat signal, so, of course, Batman needs to respond. And hanging out with you here on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a good time. I can't
It's
get
a great take. For anybody that's never been to, like, a Greg Hill Foundation event, I couldn't recommend it enough. It is always a good time.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, any fun run that ends in a pint with your buddies, tough to beat.
Dude,
and for a good
absolutely.
Cause,
you get out all that exercise, you burn off all those calories, and then there's food from a bunch of different places. There's brewskis, there's Gregnog, as he calls it. There's everything. So, you know,
Gregnog.
Yeah, I think that he partnered with... I want to say, oh, crap, I don't want to get this wrong. But he partnered with somebody, I want to say, a Screwball Whiskey, and they have his version of Gregnog. So,
I would think about doing the peanut butter. I would think about peanut butter whiskey with eggnog. I would think that would actually be a nice combo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, shout out to anybody who was at the 5K today and enjoyed themselves. And they're probably still enjoying themselves at the after party, enjoying some of these college football games, the conference championships that are on, having a nice post-5K brew dog. It's a great day.
We've spent far too much time on the radio in previous iterations of our shows, whether I was on and you were producing or we were co-hosting together, debating side dishes, favorite dishes of certain holidays, 4th of July.
Sure.
You know, pasta salad versus chips and dip and all that jazz.
I love pasta salad.
I am such a pasta salad stan.
Oh, same.
There is not a time of year.
What kind of pasta salad do you like, though? Are you like an oil-based pasta salad, a mayo-based pasta salad, something else entirely?
Would it surprise you if I said I use a little bit of both? And I do the same when I make my coleslaw. I do the exact same. I use a little bit of both.
Fair enough.
For consistency and flavor sake.
So I'm in general, I'm not a huge mayonnaise guy. You know, I'll slap a little Hellman's mayo on something every once in a while an avocado oil-based mayo, when I'm trying to be skinny Shime over here. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I'm not a huge mayonnaise guy. So for me, I'm more in the oil category.
Dig it. And you can give me a French onion dip with Ruffles chips any day.
Fitzy. Yeah, I mean, I'm
24/7, 365.
Oh, the best.
So tonight I have to host an event up at Mohegan Sun. My wife is going to
flex.
A tree lighting in town with the fam.
Nice.
And she asked me to make something to bring to a little after party.
Okay.
So I make this all homemade, by the way. The only thing I didn't homemade was the hot sauce, but I did a barbecue and buffalo chicken dip.
Nice.
Which is great. Yeah.
Is it like half and half, or is it all mixed together barbecue?
It's all mixed together. So,
it's like a kickin' barbecue.
Exactly. It's a sweet heat buffalo. It's a sweet heat chicken dip.
Yeah.
And there's mayo, and there's also Greek yogurt in there as well.
Okay.
There's Pulled roasted chicken as well. I roast garlic.
Yeah.
Hot peppers.
Roasted garlic slaps.
It should always be in every kitchen.
Oh,
it's so easy to do. 40 minutes in that little clay dome right there. Have it available to serve on anything or just a little snack. Who cares? Who cares? So I made that up. But I'm just curious as take a quick break here before we get back into the NFL action in just a moment. What is your favorite holiday dish? Like, what is the, do you care? Is it a carryover from Thanksgiving? Is there something somebody makes that you look forward to all year long? It used to be in this family. My mother-in-law used to make a brajol on Christmas that was just off the charts. But she doesn't, not so much on the cooking anymore. So I feel like I need to kind of like pick up that torch. I need to grab the flag and carry it up the hill now.
Yep.
So I'm going to try to learn it. But curious what your favorite is.
So mine is a family classic. It is my Oma's German potato salad. It is Fitzy. It's my favorite thing in the world. And so I am now like the only one who can make it because I spent many
tremendous times
in her kitchen with her cooking it. And so I do it all exactly how she does it. Never tastes quite exactly the same, but still dynamite to this day. It's as close as I can physically get. And she was one of those ladies, too, that never kept like a recipe. It was all like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Mm. Yeah, this amount of potatoes. Yeah, that's fine. This amount of bacon. Okay, that works. And it's my favorite meal. It's my favorite thing to make ever. It's my favorite thing to eat on the planet. She would send me, back when I went to college, she would like make it for me. And she'd put it in one of those, you know, like the giant tubs of pretzels with the giant screw on top. Mm-hmm. She'd have one of those from the house and she'd empty it out and clean it out and put all the German potato salad in there for me. She's like, here, take this to college. You'll be done with it in a week anyway, so it won't go bad. And
did you just unscrew it and eat it with your hand?
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah, I would. Are you kidding me? And it's not normal potato salad either. There's no mayonnaise. It's it's potatoes, bacon, pickles.
Yes, they all belong. Everyone in the tub.
Mustard.
Everyone in.
Bacon. Onions, and then you have to, the key too is when you're making it, you have to cook the onions in the bacon fat. Oh, dude.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
It is my favorite dish on the planet, and I have been ridiculed on the Greg Hill program for my mashed potatoes. I can assure you these are nothing like those. These are tremendous. They're delightful.
That sounds absolutely spectacular.
Oh, it's the best.
And I want it right now. I'm in the mood for, I don't want just Christmas cookies. I know, you know, I enjoy the nog or my wife bought a thing of, she did a sample at the local Packy the other night and came home with a bottle of the chocolate peppermint, like espresso martini thing,
okay,
which sounds kind of nice. She's like, I figured this would be kind of a fun festive drink for Christmas Day. And I was like, with your parents coming over, I'm glad.
With a hot chocolate with like a peppermint vodka or something in it
It's the best.
And I'm not a huge mint guy, but that stuff, that hits.
Treat yourself.
Amen.
Shine, we have an update on the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
Oh, do we?
We do indeed. So maybe what we should do is before we get it, tell you what we should do. Let's catch up on everything else trending right now with you in just a second. We'll come back. We'll get into that. Then we'll close strong with our NFL Week 14 preview, best bets, and more. So 617-779-7937. If you want to talk Soto, Patriots, NFL, your favorite grandmother's German potato salad, Christmas dish around the holidays, and so much more. But it all begins right now, setting the table with all the scores and more. Here's Shine. That is Larry Bird sharing the story of the famous 1988 three-point NBA shooting contest, which, spoiler alert, he won, beating Dale Ellis of the Indiana Pacers in the final round, 17-15. Shime, you know, that is where the iconic, so he was down, had to hit four of his, had to hit at least four money balls in the final rack, right? Or four shots, including the final one in the corner. And that's where the iconic Larry Bird image of him shooting the ball, then putting his finger up, the finger up for number one in the air at the second the ball left his hand. Of course, it was a swish and he wins. We play that as today is actually Larry Bird's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to the great Larry Bird. That's
right.
Pretty cool.
The living legend himself. I believe he turns 68 today. Just, you know, my favorite basketball player of all time. And as I've stumbled into coming off of coaching football and getting a little bit into basketball, with the Utes around town. I say Larry Bird's my favorite player, not because, oh, that's easy. Yeah, of course, Fitz, you're going to like the guy, you know, the guy that you grew up watching in Boston. Of course, going to be a Celtic. To me, what Larry Bird represents, I think it's such a great takeaway for kids. Sure, he's a giant person. Yes. Yeah, he was also a known party animal. Wasn't afraid of throwing down or putting away 30 Miller Lights and then throwing down with people. The stories about Larry Bird from people that ran Boston well before you and I were a part of the equation, the solution or the problem, Shime, are legendary. He's an absolute living legend. That's why they call him Larry Legend. But
true.
He is, to me, the example of, as is Michael Jordan as well, but especially Larry Bird, you make yourself, like, you are as great as you can make yourself. Like, greatness comes with a sacrifice. There is a price to be paid to be good, very good, excellent, awesome, or the best at something.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting, you know, 10,000 free throws, staying afterwards at practice to shoot 500 free throws, 100 threes, everything that he used to do, just building the court out in the backyard, and the Hick from French Lick, all those things. It's not like he was, you know, sure, he was physically gifted, and like I said, big dude, obviously very strong, but he made himself the legend. It was not just something that he stumbled into. He wasn't the fastest kid in town. Just because he was tall didn't make him good at basketball. There's lots of big and tall people that are strong and fast that can't shoot a ball worth a lick. But Larry Bird is someone who should be looked to as an example of, you can be as great as you want to make yourself.
Yeah, we were fortunate to have a couple guys like that in this, having been in this city, between Larry and then for the newer generation like myself, Tom Brady. Like, he was very similar. He was not
perfect.
A top draft pick. He was not as highly sought after. He could barely hold the job at Michigan because they wanted to put in Drew Henson. Like, it's just another guy who had to work for every single thing he got. And, you know, yeah, there has to be some sort of talent involved, but at the same time, like, the amount of hard work and effort that these guys put in is unmatched, and that's what makes them some of the greatest of their sports.
For sure, for sure, for sure. Hopefully, so if you get a chance, moms and dads listening out there, go home tonight, pop on the YouTube, tuck away Mr. Beast and all of your kids' favorite influencers and other content, hashtag content creators.
Mr. Beast got some great stuff.
He does. He does. No, he legitimately does. I have no hating on Jimmy. The guy is a self. He's the Tom Brady. He's the Larry Bird of content creators.
Yeah. Like,
no one works harder than Mr. Beast. Jimmy's got it going on for sure. And, you know, Brady's a fan and he's appeared in multiple videos too. So,
yeah, he was just in one recently, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was a throwing contest.
Oh, yeah, with the high school quarterback, right?
Yeah, which was really cool.
That was fun.
So I said before you caught us up with some trending news and we took a break that there was an update on the Juan Soto.
Yes, I'm interested to hear what you got here.
All right, let's see right here. Let's pull it up right now, Shime. There is a verified Twitter follow. Let's see. This is at Mike Deportes.
Yeah, this guy has had a couple of, like, Juan Soto reports thus far.
Yeah, Mike Rodriguez. Okay. MLB insider, broadcaster, former analyst for the Cubs in Spanish. Here it is. So this came out just a few minutes ago. According to a very close source, the hashtag Mets have offered a deal worth over $730 million for the next 15 years to Juan Soto. And so far, it is the highest offer from any team as of today, 12:20 p.m.
That's more than the Shohei Ohtani deal, correct? Because Ohtani was $700 million, right?
Yes. Ohtani was, on an average annual value, no.
No, because, like, there was the deferred money and stuff, blah, blah, blah. Regardless, I'm talking about the total commensurate value of the contract was about $700 million, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Which means that they're offering Juan Soto, who, by the way, doesn't pitch like Shohei Ohtani does, also wasn't the MVP like Shohei Ohtani was, they're offering Juan Soto $730 million. If that's true, and this guy is not quite as accurate as Scoops Keefe, our friend and yours, if that's true, there's zero chance the Red Sox sign this guy. Zero. There's no shot.
Aren't you exhausted by this right now?
Oh, yeah. It's just, we just keep going and going. The number just keeps getting higher and higher. And
just sign someplace. Eliminate some teams. At this point, I mean, he's a Boris client. All he's going to do is pursue the money. He doesn't care about your city. He doesn't care about your
coast. That's how you
know
it's a bogus report. Scott Boras just wants the number to keep going up.
He's just going to go up further than this. You've got to be kidding me.
He's going to try and keep it. But that's who Boras is. He's going to continue to try and inflate the number as much as physically possible.
Don't do it, everyone. Please don't do it. My God. So they're trying to maybe, I bet you they're trying to get to 15 for 750. That's what Coley Mick from Underdog says.
Yeah, cool. The Red Sox aren't paying that. There's no chance. Like, this team wouldn't pay 10 for 300 for Mookie Betts. They're not paying $750 million for Juan Soto. It's not happening.
No, it's not. And so, I mean, how high would you say your interest was? Like, how intense was your passion, your zeal for Juan Soto?
I would have really liked him. I loved the idea of paying, you know, $500 million for him. I was fine with that. $750 is stupid money. It's way too much. And on top of that, like, the Red Sox are just never going to pay him. Like, that was my thing. That was the hard part is I would love Juan Soto, but in the back of my mind, I knew no matter what the price tag was, the Sox weren't paying him. And so for me, I just never really got myself too excited about it.
Yeah, just hard out. Like, I'm good. Like, if he really wanted to come to Boston, if this wasn't just
contract,
all,
it'd be done.
Yeah, it would be like, oh, I love Pedro so much. Oh my gosh,
I love Big Poppy. He's my boy. I want to play with Rafael Manny. Devers.
I've always wanted to be here. This is like, I want to play with Brad. No.
My favorite place on the world.
You
no,
just
that's crap.
Want money.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was from the beginning with Scott Boras. You have to include the Red Sox because technically they could have one of the highest payrolls in the entire sport, and so of course they have to be involved to drive up the price. But in actuality, they were never involved.
No, they were not. So what is your which way would you want to see the Red Sox pivot now?
I don't know
which way. Like, I would love to, you know, I would love to see them take some of your assets. Like, if there's a free agent pitcher you're enamored with, you get Giolito back, so he's found money going forward next year. Okay, that's a plus. Maybe you'll actually get a serviceable, decent season out of him without even having to explore the trade market, although there are some pitchers that they could deal some picks for that they would have control over.
Sure.
Spend the money. Like, you can, like, you haven't found out yet. Willier Abreu may just be scratching the surface. Jaron Duran is a star in bloom. You don't know what you're going to get yet out of Mayer and Teal and Anthony. Yeah, you do run the risk of one of them one of them could turn into Kopech or Moncada. One of them could also turn into Bagwell. You don't know. So, we'll see how it goes. The Red Sox have been on both sides of fleecings and trades in their history. You know, they lost out on Bagwell for Larry Anderson. But they also traded Heathcliff Slocum for Varitek and Derek Lowe. So it could go one way or the other. Who knows? But if all you have to do is spend money, then just go get Corbin Burns and go get Teoscar Hernandez.
Do you have any interest in Sasaki? What is it? Roki Sasaki, right?
Oh, the Japanese flamethrower?
Yeah, the 23-year-old.
Why not?
Yeah. You're right. I agree. I would just go sign a bunch of pitching at this point. Like, just throw money at pitching. Hopefully that helps. Because you're right. There's a lot of young, talented players in the organization at the position spots. You just lack any form of pitching, any form of it. And so just go throw money at your pitching problem. Hopefully one or two of those guys hit. And then hopefully you continue to grow in terms of position players. And maybe you strike a trade. Maybe. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm not saying that's exactly what I would do. But, you know, if you happen to come across a trade that works for everybody and you get Vlad Guerrero Jr., great. Like, nobody's going to complain about that. But at least for now, do the bare minimum and go throw money at your pitching. I think that's like the least the Red Sox can do.
Okay, I want to offer not a correction, but a bit of an update. I just got a text, and apparently it was mentioned this morning by the Lairdman on the award-winning Ken and Curtis show. I didn't see it. The algorithm hasn't pointed my buddy my way in a while. But our old friend, Steve Dakota Happus, a.k.a. the world-famous Dakota and Braintree, at Dakota Spin, tweeted out this morning at 11:22 a.m., breaking, an inside source told me minutes ago, Soto sweepstakes down to the Yankees and Mets. Cohen and Soto are meeting this morning. It's down to the two New York teams. The Sox are officially out of the running.
Maybe. Again, not the not someone with as pristine a track record as my guy Scoops Keefe, but it could be true.
No,
we'll see.
Good. I got it.
I mean, I didn't believe the Red Sox were involved all along. Like, it was just, their name was just out there. Like, it never once to me was I shown any convincing evidence that the Red Sox were ever actually in play for Juan Soto. Not once. Nobody. Nope. Like, nobody made it clear to me. And at this point, I'm just kind of waiting for the passing tweets. That's really the only person I trust in this situation. I don't really care what anybody else says. You're Mike DePortis or whatever.
I so many other people that have been coming up in the feed. I want them all out of the
Like Thanksgiving Day, where all these little Red Sox guys are like, yep, Red Sox all over Juan Soto. And Pasek comes out and goes, nope, there's no deal. Like, everybody relax. Go enjoy Thanksgiving with your families. Like, dude, just chill. Baseball for me is the one sport where I'm like, no, I have to see Jeff Passan tweet it first.
Right.
Then once he does, then I believe it.
Apparently on the WFAN overnight show, John Heyman was on doing an update or the evening program on The Fan.
Yep.
With their host Keith McPherson, and he got so angry with the line of questioning in the interview that his voice cracked. He screamed at him and quit his job on the air. I might have to surface that audio. By the way, this just popped up in my feed too. Did you see who was the guest picker, if you will, the guest selector?
Yeah, I
today
did
on
see
game
this.
Day.
Great mustache, Timothy Chalamet.
Look at the freaking stash on the Chalamet.
I haven't heard anything yet, but there's one video that College Game Day, I think it was, tweeted out. They're like, Timothy knows ball, and I'm like, I need to go watch.
It has 3.5 million views already.
Yeah, elite ball knowledge from Timothy Chalamet.
I'm looking at it right now. That mustache is so powerful. I have to avert my gaze.
Did he go to some like big college or anything, or what's his deal?
Did you see those Dune movies?
No, I'm not a big Dune guy.
Neither am I.
Honest.
And yet, still, I watched them, and they're phenomenal.
Fair enough.
He's so good.
He's awesome. He looks like he's gonna nail that Bob Dylan movie. Like, he's gonna crush it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Look at
that. Yeah, I don't
mustache.
Even think he went. Did he even go to college?
I don't even know what to do with that mustache. Wow.
Oh, he did. He went to Columbia. Okay, so he didn't go to a college with a football program.
No, that makes – yeah, they have a nice fine arts program.
Exactly. There. But it's kind of impressive. Like, I'm curious to hear. When I saw him on TV, on the TV behind me, I was like, wait a minute. Is that Chalamet? Why on earth is he on College Game Day? And I was like, I'm pretty sure last week they had, like, the guy from Dude Perfect, and then this week they have Timothy Chalamet.
What a coveted spot.
What an absolute spot.
617-779-7937 is your phone number and the text line here for the Fitzy and Chime Show. Let's talk to one of my favorites, Matt in Rhode Island, Double Dry Hop Matt. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, what's up, buddy? What's up, guys? Hey, I just wanted to relate a Larry Bird thing and tie it into the Celtics that we're watching today because, Fitzy, I'm 48, so I'm not sure how old you are, but you're just talking about Larry Bird and what a great player he was. One of the best stories ever was when he came back to Indiana. He told his brother Mike about Magic Johnson. Said, this guy's unbelievable. He's so much better than me. You know, he can do this, that, and he can do everything on the basketball court. His brother was like, no, he's not that much better than you. And then his brother saw Magic Johnson play in that championship game. He's like, yeah, he's a lot better than you. It's a funny story, which is his brother Mike is who broke his finger in a 90-degree angle. So Larry Bird did all that with, like, almost no feeling in, like, his shooting hand, as you guys probably know, but just so tough. Could do anything on the court. But what I was saying about how it relates to today is, like, the two stars that we have, Jaylen and Tatum, they're so durable. Like, it's, you know, I know they've missed a couple games here and there, but it's for legitimate injuries and not load management. And, you know, I think they bring back a throwback game. Like, you know, Jaylen Brown's a really tough player. We're seeing that. I think his genuine dislike for Giannis is very obvious and well deserved. And because the whole team, you know, they play a team basketball. They're sharing the ball. So I think it's exciting for this year, and I think they're going to win it all again. Thanks, guys.
I hope so as well, Matt. Big win for the Celtics last night as well against Milwaukee on a night where Lillard and Giannis both went for over 30. Jason Tatum showed up and showed out. It was nice to see also after we'd been discussing Drew Holiday having some issues, some knee pain, load management early on, had himself a real nicey-nicey game last night, Sean.
Yeah.
That was, as much as anything else, aside from the dub, for what it means, sweeping the season series from the Bucks and not giving Doc any sweet revenge, That was my favorite thing to see.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think the Celtics got some clutch performances at the end of that game, too. That was a tight one coming down to the wire. Al Horford hit a nice big three towards the end of the game there. So, love what the Celtics have been doing. I'm excited to see kind of where they go. They have been, without a doubt, the most consistent team. You know, Tatum's out in the night, doesn't matter. Brown will step up, or Hauser has been great now, two games in a row. I think he had 20 points two games ago. Last night, 16 points. So, I love this Celtics team. I think they're so deep. They're so talented across the board. They are going to continue to kick ass, which is, and you know, you're still working Porzingis back, which I think is awesome.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, Shyam and I will officially begin our Week 14 preview in the NFL. We'll also give you our best bets and everything else we can give you until 3:30 in the P, at which time we'll throw it on over to the pregame for the SEC championship, and it should be a dandy between Georgia and Texas. This is Fitchy and Chime, FNS on EEI. Oh, Chime, that was the clip I mentioned earlier in the show. Can you listen? What an absolute
I can't even believe it.
I can't even believe it. That's Keith McPherson, who I listen to on occasion, does an excellent job on the evening show on WFAN, our sister station down in Manhattan.
The island of Manhattan.
Yeah, the island of Manhattan, part of the 5 points. And he had John Heyman on the other night, and he was just sort of joking around because Heyman gets, you know, scoop, and he takes it so self-seriously. And my God, this is just, I play that because we do a show today where we've talked about Juan Soto, Drake May, Gerard Mayo, Bill Belichick, potato salad, holiday cocktails, Larry Bird, Timothy Chalamet's mustache, all the things that we think that an average sports fan cares about, would want to discuss, or on their mind. If there's anything else we missed, let us know. 617-779-7937. Folks, it's sports. It's entertainment. Yeah, I know these guys have a job to do, and they want to be taken seriously if they provide good information, which moves the needle, stirs the dialogue, and helps make things move along. But my God, really, just...
As Matt Patricia once said, have a little respect for the process. Sit up.
Yeah, if you could sit up, really. Yeah.
Sit up in your chair.
I can't even believe it.
Lord, please, Lord, please deliver me from these pick sixes. You know what? Actually, hold on. Right before we get into our Week 14 preview, before you play that great NFL Films music or whatever it is you got lined up there, producer Tom, Big Tom, can we have Jameis Winston one more time on the pick
please,
sixes,
please?
Give me 1 second, Fitzy.
Inject this into my veins.
All right, so this
veins.
Is now, this is the new name of whenever Shyam and I are on together, the Fitzy and Shyam show, otherwise known as FNS, is going to be the Lord Deliver Me From These Pick Sixes show, because we have postured that this is the soundbite of the 2024 NFL season.
I am a better player, you know, but in times like this, you know, that's it's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this.
I know it.
I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Thank you, God.
Can't even believe it.
I'm just praying for the Lord
to deliver me from pick sixes.
Oh, my God. He's a gift.
He's the greatest gift.
What do you want for Christmas, Dad? Nothing. Just the Lord
Jameis
to deliver
Jameis Winston. That's what I want.
From these pick sixes. All right, Tom, if you can stir up some NFL Films music, I believe it is time to pay off of that promise and give the people what they want and expect. It is the official FNS. Lord, deliver me from these pick sixes. Week 14 NFL preview. Shyam, we got week 14 off to a bang slamming slam banger slobber knocker of a start with that 34-31 Lions win over the Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football. And dare I say, I think we got a couple of fun ones, a few nicey niceys coming up on the Sunday slate. It begins in Steel City, where the Pittsburgh Steelers, a surprising 9-3 on the season, still possibly in contention, not just for the NFC North, but the first overall seed in the AFC, they host the king of the pick sixes, Jameis Winston, and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I love the Steelers here. I just think this is a great spot for Mike Tomlin. Couple interesting notes for you here. Mike Tomlin, the Steelers have not lost to the Browns in Pittsburgh since 2003 when Tim Couch was the quarterback.
Since the Patriots ripped off 21 straight wins.
Correct. And then on top of that, Mike Tomlin has never, I repeat, has never lost to the same quarterback twice in one regular season. Never. It's never happened. And so it's not going to happen this year. Give me the Steelers. I'll lay the 6.5. I think the best play, though, in this game is the over 43.5. They hit this number in the snow in Cleveland on a short week on a Thursday night. I love going over this number. Give me over 43.5 in that Browns-Steelers game.
Real quick, Russell Wilson.
Awesome.
Put together a pretty good season.
He has been remarkably great.
He's been really good.
I think in large part that's Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Smith being the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh has made a huge, huge difference. They run a ton of play action. They take their shots. They put the ball in the hands of their playmakers. And Russ has been really good. He's been great. That was the right decision going from Fields to Russ. We all questioned it at the time because they were like 4-1, 4-2. And yet, here they are. I mean, Russ has rattled off a bunch, and the Steelers look great.
Yeah, in six games, 1,626 yards, 10 tutties, 3 picks. That's not bad.
And he had 400 yards in the last game. He was awesome.
Yeah, he's really against Joe Burrow, the quarterback who's been done dirtiest in the league so far this season. All right, moving on. Saints at Giants. No one cares.
This is an ugly, ugly game. If you're going to make me pick it, I'll lay the 5.5 with the Rizzler and the Saints. Mm-hmm. But I don't love it either way. The thing I do like in this game, though, Fitzy, prop-wise, mm-hmm. Alvin Kamara needs 106 rushing yards to hit 1,000 yards in a single season for the first time in his career, if you can believe it. He has never had 1,000 yards rushing.
He's like the king of 930 yards, isn't
correct.
He?
And he has had like over 1,000 total yards because he's caught a million passes. But he has never had 1,000 yards rushing. This will be the first year he's 106 yards away. I will be playing Kamara's prop at 82.5 on the over. I will also add in a Kamara touchdown, but that's pretty juiced at minus 185. So I like Kamara in that game.
Ooh, I'm all in on that as well. And the Giants, it's almost, is it Lockjaw or is it a... DeVito's not starting yet.
No, it's true. Lock him up.
It's lock him up.
Lock him up.
One more that also is kind of a lousy game that features a New York team, but I think this one actually may be kind of fun to watch and bet. The New York Jetropolitans, amidst their free fall, if they lose tomorrow, they tie the Patriots at 3-10, and they can make the meme come true of biggest season in 25 years, lowest expectations in 25 years, both 3-10. Aaron Rodgers, king of the enigmas, Captain Ayahuasca, travels down to Miami Gardens to take on Mr. Tracksuit, the vaped crusader, Tua Tagovailoa, and the Dolphins.
My favorite pastime this NFL season, outside of betting on the LA Chargers, has been betting against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I will continue to do that this week. I actually think Miami's pretty good. You look back the last couple weeks since Tua came back, they kicked the crap out of the Patriots. They beat the Rams on Monday night. That Green Bay game was kind of ugly, but I think
they don't play well in the cold.
They play awful in the cold, and I think the offense came to play, but the defense wanted nothing to do with that Green Bay team, didn't want to tackle a single soul. So I like this Miami team. I think they're actually pretty good. I will lay the 6 with Miami in this game, but I prefer to use them as a teaser leg. I think they're one of my favorite teaser legs of the week, being at 6 points. Like them, if you want a nice little 1 o'clock teaser, Steelers, Dolphins, 6-point tease, bada bing, bada boom, just need the Dolphins to win, Steelers to win, makes it nice and simple.
Oh, that is a nicey one right there as well. All right, we will get to the rest of the slate. We got 9 games, Mrs. Bueller. 9 more games to go through in our powerhouse final leg here on the Fitzy and Shime Show on a Saturday afternoon. Please, Lord, deliver us from these pick sixes on EEI. Home stretch for your boys here. Fitzy and Shime on a Saturday afternoon. Just a few minutes ago, we started our Week 14 NFL preview, offering our best bets and picks.
Speaking of picks, Fitzy,
slate, yes, sir.
Just an update for you: Timothy Chalamet, 3-0.
You've got to be kidding!
So he made 6 picks up there on College Game Day. He's currently technically he's 1-0, but his other 2 picks: Arizona State currently leads 45-13 over Iowa State,
and feeling good about that.
And then Ohio leads 38-3 over Miami of Ohio.
They do?
In the MAC championship. Yeah, you sure do.
Wow.
So Timothy Chalamet is going to clean up in these early games. His next three picks.
Let's hear about those because maybe we can get some action in there.
Louisiana, currently a five-point favorite in the Sun Belt Championship against Marshall. He has Oregon, 3.5-point favorite against Penn State in the Big Ten Championship.
That's a big game in advance of the college football playoff.
Sure is. And then he has the Longhorns. He went with his buddy McConaughey, Texas over Georgia. Texas, a 3-point favorite there. I'm with him on two of the three. I'm with him on Louisiana and Oregon.
I'm not in on Georgia.
I'm on the dogs.
I'm on the Georgia absolutely dominated Texas in their first matchup earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Georgia can get back into the college football playoff.
So they're in no matter what. Okay. We had Nick Costos on the Greg Hill show yesterday, talking about this as well. We have Costos on every Friday for all your gambling needs, but, Costos was saying, yep, they're in no matter what. And it's more so just a thing of seeding at this point. But Carson Beck also has been lights out. As much as he has disappeared at times, lights out in like his last three games, 11 touchdowns, no picks. So
I tell you, from that comeback against Alabama earlier this year, and what a disappointing season for Kalen DeBoer and his rookie coaching campaign with the Crimson Tide.
Milroe's made a name for himself, though. I wouldn't be shocked. That's one of my surprise draft risers. I think once we hit combine time, Milroe might shoot up some draft boards.
Yeah, but like I feel like that's I'm not saying Kenny Pickett was the world's worst first round quarterback pick out of pure desperation.
No, but isn't he just like a faster version of Jalen Hurts?
Maybe. That could be a good way to put it. Jalen Hurts has turned himself into a hell of a nice quarterback.
Yeah, like I don't think Milroe should come in and start right away for anybody, but like I think there's some tools there that you can work with. I got to dig, come closer to the draft time. I'll dig deeper into the tape, maybe hop on the Six Rings podcast and break it down for the boys. But, but from what I've seen, like I kind of like Milroe. I think he's pretty good.
All right, so why is no one talking about Carson Beck as a prospect?
Because again, so like prior to the last couple games, like he has disappeared at times. Before the season, he was kind of like him and Shadur were the two quarterbacks that it felt like everybody was talking about. But since then, Cam Ward has since risen. Jalen Milroe had a pretty good year. And Jackson Dart, and it would if you an Ole Miss, if you like him, I guess. But
he's an early day two pick right now, according to draft experts.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't love Carson Beck, at least from what I've seen. He's not been my favorite. He's fine. But I think Georgia is more about their defense than they are Carson Beck. Yeah, that's true. I'd be curious to again dig into the tape on somebody like him, but he doesn't get me excited. That's for sure.
Okay, all right, fair enough. He's not on your nicey.
Nope.
I love that Anthony Edwards tweeted out about the matchup today between Georgia.
Oh yeah, I forgot he's a Bulldog.
Texas. Anthony Edwards tweeted, "Quote Carson Beck, do your mother effing thing, boy. You hear me? Do your thing." That's exactly. Awesome. I find you someone who will tweet at you like that in this life.
I can only dream.
That's all you need. All right, back to the NFL theme music, back to the Week 14 preview here as we carry on with the Fitzy and Shime show. When we last left you, Shime had said he loves the Dolphins over the Jets, would probably lay the 6.5, but I love that the Dolphins are a tease play. Oh, tease me, please me. Steelers and Dolphins as a teaser, when you just need to make some free money during the holidays, just feels like it's just going to land right in your pocket.
Yeah, it's perfect. I think there's a lot of fun teaser legs this week. Actually, there's been a lot of the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. The teaser is back. Early in the season, it was a nightmare with all the underdogs covering and winning outright. But now it is. We are back.
Chalk is reestablishing itself, and I like it.
Tease me, City.
Here's another game that no one is going to watch on purpose. Jaguars at Titans.
Yeah, no one has any desire here. I will lay the 3 points at the Titans. We talked about this earlier. I actually think the Titans have been better of late. Will Levis, in particular, has been better of late. That Titans defense is extremely stingy. I don't think Mac Jones will be cooking up anything fun for the Jaguars. Give me the Titans, and I will lay the 3 points.
Is there a Mac Jones, who now has to finish the season since Trevor Lawrence has been put on injured reserve,
correct,
ending his miserable 2024 campaign? Is there a chance he could just go like 0-7 for the Jags? It's on the table.
Yeah, he could deliver the Jaguars to the number one overall pick. Absolutely. That is 100% in play.
Then mission accomplished.
Because I don't even know, I haven't looked at the rest of the Jaguars' schedule, but I can't imagine that there's many winnable games on there. You get the Titans. Okay, actually, it's easier than I thought. Titans, Jets, Raiders, Titans, Colts. So it's going to be, Mac Jones might actually win them a game. Maybe.
Wow. Oh, how the McCorkle has fallen.
Thank God.
Moving on, let's see. Ooh, the Kirk Cousins Revenge Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons, 6-6 on the season. Cousins fresh off slicing off a nice four-pack of picks last week against Harbaugh's Chargers. Travel back to the place he used to call home, U.S. Bank Stadium, the Dome in the frozen city, the frozen Twin Cities, as they take on the surprising 10-2 Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, the resurgence of Sam Darnold. I like the Vikings here. I just, something's wrong with Kirk Cousins. I don't know what it is.
Right. Could it be the fact that he had an Achilles replaced?
Probably,
in the
but he was ripping it at one point this season and has since fallen apart. The Atlanta Falcons, I think, are going to lose out on that division to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are going to storm up here late, even though they beat them twice this season. I think the Buccaneers will end up taking that division. So I like the Vikings in this one. Vikings defense has been one of the best all year long. Sam Darnold has been good. The weapons on offense are great. I think the Vikings are the way to go here. But, Fitzy, I think maybe halfway through this game, Atlanta fans are going to be chanting, put in the Penix.
We want Penix. Put in Penix.
I think that's what we're going to get. We're going to get the
Cousins put in Penix. Cousins may get $100 million to quarterback the Falcons for 1 year. Smartest man in America.
Oh, yeah. He's made more money than anybody ever should. For an average quarterback.
Infuriating. It's unbelievable. Yeah, now listen, Flores' defense is blitz happy, and that's going to be great for a largely immobilized Kirk Cousins as well.
And the Falcons don't get pressure, so Sam Darnold's going to be sitting pretty in that pocket.
Oh, really? Matt Judon and the Falcons don't generate pressure. You don't say
Shocker.
About that. Oh, how about that? Yeah, I like the Vikings in this one, too. I think they cover as well. Flores' defense has given up some points recently, but the Falcons, you know, of course it would be a perfect time for him to have the game of his life and make both of us look like idiots. But all right, we move on to the city of brotherly shove. The biggest spread on the board this week, 12.5, a triggering number in Patriots Nation. If you go back to Deflategate, the Eagles, who are looking like contenders, rather not the Soriani pretenders, are hosting these recently resurgent Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young, who looks like maybe he can play NFL football after all.
Yeah, if you're going to make me pick the game, I guess I'll take the points just because it's basically two touchdowns, but I don't want this game. I don't want to touch this game.
Same.
For me, it's I don't know what to expect. I think the Eagles just kind of shorten the game, run the football, give pad Saquon stats as much as they can while also winning the football game. That's all that matters.
What are his props, by the way, Shine?
So right now, I'm looking at it. Saquon Barkley is at, 120 rushing yards? Wait.
You got to be kidding me.
Get out of my way. 110 is his line. 111.5. I don't know if I've ever seen a rushing yard line that high. Maybe Derrick Henry once or twice, but it's way too much. But honestly, he might hit it. This Carolina Panthers can't stop the run. I wouldn't be shocked if Saquon Barkley goes off for 150 in the first half and the Eagles just kind of choke the clock away in the second half and win 20-7 or 20-13, where it's never really actually competitive, even though the Panthers are down a score. So I will, if you're going to make me pick, I'll take the points, but honestly, I want to stay away.
Yeah, that's a weird spread. I don't like it either. I think that's a stay away for me as well. The Buccaneers, who are looking to reclaim their throne atop the NFC South, for whatever that is, host their 80s.
Yeah, I like the Bucs. I don't love the Bucs. Again, another teaser leg opportunity here being 6.5 is the number. What I do like from the Bucs in this game, though, is my guy, Bucky Irving, the man destined to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Dude.
He has been so good this season for the Bucs. I love him to score a touchdown in this game, -130 right now. But Bucky Irving's my guy in this game. I guess I'll take the Bucs. I'll lay the 6.5 just because the Raiders kind of stink. But, that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, they look pretty good against Kansas City in the game that they threw away in the last second, conveniently enough.
And then the four games prior to that, they lost by 10, lost by 15, lost by almost 20, lost by 7. So Raiders, not good. Not
I don't see how
team.
The Bucs don't. They'd cover, but that, to me, now, Sean, am I getting into over my head with a Steelers, Dolphins, Buccaneers 3-team 1 o'clock teaser?
3-team tease. That's probably what, +160. No, I don't hate that. If you want to start your day off hot, I like that a lot. You could even if you're not super confident in the Bucs to win, you could go with the Vikings if you like the Vikings more. I think any kind of combination between Dolphins, Vikings, Steelers, Bucs in a tease is kind of a nice way to start.
I'm a Mayfield. I'm a card carrying member of the Baker Mayfield.
Let Baker bake, baby.
All right, on to the 4 o'clock slate we move. Here's an interesting one. Someone's going to have to win the NFC West, and it's likely not going to be the 49ers.
Yeah.
The Seahawks travel to Arizona, where the New England Patriots will be a week from tomorrow. So you got the 6-6 Cardinals with the suddenly 7-5 first place NFC West Seahawks?
Yeah, I'll take the Cardinals here. I really like the Arizona Cardinals. I think they're the better football team. That Seattle team can't block anything. You talk about bad offensive line play, which you see every week here in New England. Seattle's kind of in the same boat. I love the Cardinals here. I think they are a really good football team. They might make a little noise in the playoffs, kind of be a little frisky. If you're into the Tier Tuesdays on Jones and Keefe, they should definitely be in the frisky category because, man, they can play. Give me the Cardinals laying the 3 points at home for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm liking that one a lot as well. Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way, slight disappointment.
And I think that's just because he's surrounded by so many other weapons, right? They've been a physical running team with James Conner. Trey McBride has been freaking awesome. And then you mix in a little Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch on top of the Kyler Murray performance, and that's kind of what you get.
Yeah. Maybe that'll go back to the Mayo thing of like, the year two jump.
No
more important time to make a jump where you'll see greater progress than when you go from year one to year two in the NFL.
And he does have like a handful of touchdowns, which is, I would say, very important. So
yeah, but he hasn't been like, he hasn't been Timothy Chalamet.
He hasn't been Brian Thomas Jr., right? Or Malik Nabers.
No.
Those guys you can clearly see are superstars in the waiting, whereas Marvin Harrison really hasn't kind of popped. 600 yards, 7 touchdowns. It's a good season, but it's a quietly good season.
Correct. I think people are looking for a little more noise. We'll see how that goes. Still has 5 games left to maybe hit that 1,000-yard mark and start establishing himself. Speaking of the aforementioned 49ers, they host the Bears 425 at the Big Bell Bottom, featuring fantasy pickup potentially of the season, someone who may carry a lot of teams into their playoffs, Isaac Guarendo, who takes over for Jordan Watson and Christian McCaffrey, both to IR. Their running back seasons are over.
Yeah, looks like 49ers, no Trent Williams in this game for sure. Looks
tragic
like
what happened.
Nick
with
Bosa is doubtful. This 49ers team is so banged up. It's one of my favorite dogs of the week. Give me the Bears. I'll take the 3 points. I'll take the Bears in San Francisco. Caleb Williams has looked good post Shane Waldron. And also,
They like Thomas Brown, too, dude. The new coach bump is in effect.
New coach bump. My favorite thing in football, in just about any sport now. New coach bump. Give me Thomas Brown and the Bears +3 in San Francisco.
Big fan as well on that one.
Yeah.
425. This should make for a great watch.
What a game.
I am looking forward on a stress-free Sunday. No Six Rings postgame, no Patriots game, but definitely feet up on the coffee table, popcorn and pilsners by my side. Bills at the Rams. The Bills, telling you, watch out. Like, I feel like this is their year to come out of the AFC finally. You got your likely MVP candidate in Josh Allen against a Rams team that are still looking to maybe be able to claw their way to the top of that NFC West as well, with the best wide receiver tandem, hands down, in the NFL, and Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua.
Yeah, I'll take the Bills here. I will buy the 0.5, make it 3. I just don't like taking the hook there, especially on the road. But the Bills are so good, man. This team is built to win close games. They're built to win by kicking your ass. They're going to be physical. The defense has been, I think, the biggest surprise with the amount of turnovers that they've generated. So I expect them to continue to do that on Sunday afternoon. And I will lay the 3 points with Josh Allen and the Bills. They are primed and ready to go this year for an AFC championship appearance, hopefully a Super Bowl appearance for them.
And this is a year where they lose Matt Milano. They suffer some free agency loss.
Who came back now?
Yeah, but he was out for most of the season.
Yep.
This was supposed to be a year they get rid of Steph Diggs. It was kind of a roster reset year, so everyone kind of figured them for like 10-7, 11-6, maybe in a wild card team.
Yeah,
look at them now. This is the best overall team I think I've seen in the Josh Allen era, and the vibes around them, immaculate.
I think what they're doing is they're trying to be some of those later Tom Brady style teams where they have a really physical running game with, you know, Josh Allen, James Cook, Ray Davis, a good offensive line, and then just guys who are reliable in the pass game. Amari Cooper has been pretty good. He's been injured a little bit for them, but he has been good when he's on the field. Khalil Shakir still is one of the most underrated receivers in all of football. Has like a 90% success rate when they throw him the football.
So good.
Insane.
Oh, fifth round pick a few years ago, by the way.
Andy Hart
Pat's
loved
pals.
Him out of Boise State.
Me and Giardi both had major Shakir.
Yeah.
Bumps.
And so I love what they're doing on offense. And then, like I said, the defense has been way better than advertised. So good for the Bills. I'll take the Bills.
All right, tomorrow night, Chargers at Chiefs for your sniff game of the week.
Waiting all
That's
day for
nice
Sunday night.
I'm so excited about this one. But however, J.K. Dobbins down for the four count because he's on injured reserve. Is that the Gus Bus taking over as lead back?
Yeah, it'll be Gus Bus, and I assume Kamani Vidal will get mixed in there as well.
Right. Okay, he's the backup. I always thought that Harbaugh was going to make Blake Corum a priority draft pick, but it didn't happen. Chargers at the Chiefs. Is this finally maybe the opportunity in the window for the Chiefs to make the statement game comeback against a team that notoriously plays them tough?
No. I like the Chargers here. Give me the Chargers plus the 4 points. I will take the dog. The Kansas City Chiefs can't cover a spread to save their lives. Vegas has kind of had it. Normally this game should be like 6, maybe 7. Vegas is like, no, we're not doing that anymore.
They were a 13-point favorite against the Raiders and should have lost.
Yes.
Should have lost.
The Chiefs cannot cover a spread at this point. If anything, if the Chiefs win, it's going to be by a field goal. It's going to be late because the Chargers are going to charge around themselves. But this Chiefs defense has been spotty the last few weeks. I don't love them. Aiden O'Connell threw for, 340 yards against this Chiefs defense just over a week ago. So I love Justin Herbert to come out slinging. Big Ladd McConkey day. Big Justin Herbert day. Give me the Chargers plus 4 in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Jim Harbaugh going to put his stamp on this rivalry now. Really kind of let them know that we're here to compete and not just be your little brother forever.
And your last one, Monday night, it's irrelevant except for entertainment and gambling purposes only. The Bengals, a 5.5-point favorite at Jira World. Will Joe Burrow finally get the primetime victory, slinging it to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins he so richly deserves?
Yeah, I think I'll lay the 5.5. I don't love it. The thing I love more is just the over. 49.5 is too low for this Bengals.
Have it in the first half.
This Bengals defense, are you kidding me? Like, I will take the over on that all day. I will also be placing bets on Cooper Rush to have good passing days. 250 and 2 touchdowns is almost 3-1. I will also be betting on CD Lamb. This Cincinnati defense is so bad. So any opportunity I can take to bet against them, even with a guy like Cooper Rush, I will take.
I'm with you, my man. And that will wrap it up for us today on a 3.5 supersized edition of the Fitzy and Chime Show, FNS here on EEI. Great job, College Tom, producing the program today. Appreciate you very much. Give Chime his props as well. Please deliver him from all these pick sixes at Chime Time. And this is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY, saying thanks for tuning in to us, folks. Enjoy all the college football today. Enjoy all the merriment and the holidays and the parties. If you have a little too much today, make sure you call a rideshare. Take care of yourselves. Do all the right things possible. Make the most of your time. And have a very wonderful, stress-free Patriots football Sunday. We're back at you on Monday with another Patriots Monday
and
here.
And I will be on tomorrow morning with the football pregame show.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot that you're on the football Sundays.
Yep. Jeez, sorry to interrupt you there, but I will be on
tomorrow
morning.
No, thank you for the reminder, buddy. Thank you. You are a grinder, bro. and that means I'll probably have to call in as well. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.